Message series here at Crossroads Church called Empty, How Emptying Ourselves Can Lead to a Life Fulfilled. And our key sermon series verse has been Mark chapter 8, I want to say verse 34 and 35, which says, if anyone wants to follow me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me, if anyone wants to be my disciple. And so we've been looking at what does it mean to empty ourselves. And so this week we continue this series. On week 5 of our series of Empty. Have you ever placed your trust in someone or something only to be disappointed? Like maybe it was somebody they had let you down in the past, but you thought, you know what, I'm going to give them one more chance, all right? One more opportunity to prove themselves. And so even though your better judgment said, maybe you shouldn't really trust them, you went ahead and trusted them anyway, and then you were left feeling empty and disappointed because, of course, they dropped the ball. They didn't come through. Or maybe it wasn't so much someone that you placed your trust in, but you put your trust in something. Maybe you put your trust in Social Security being there for you when you retire, and now you're starting to look at Social Security or your retirement, and you're going, man, have I really put enough away? Am I really going to make it? Maybe you had a foolproof plan that needed another proof checking or proof reading before you started to follow it. And so you did something kind of silly. You listened to your brother when you were younger and you broke your leg. Or maybe your trust was broken, not by someone else necessarily, but maybe you thought, if I work hard, if I put the hard work effort in, that my boss will notice and I will get that promotion that I've been applying for and I'll be rewarded for my hard work. Or maybe my spouse or my neighbor will notice, like, hey, I've really been taking care of my dogs this year and there's no messes in your yard and can we at least talk to each other, right? So you place your trust and then only to find that it didn't quite work out the way you expected it to. Have you ever placed trust in the wrong thing? If you have, you probably have found that misplaced trust often leaves us feeling empty, doesn't it? In fact, that's kind of one of those key points for our sermon series, is that if we place our trust in the wrong things, it will end up leaving us feeling empty. I remember a time when I was an intern at Crossroads Church in Lakeville, our mother church that helped us start. Back in 2002, I was serving as a pastoral intern, and I had reached this point in my time with them and my time in college where I needed a testing ground. And so Pastor Paul graciously offered to invite me to come down to Lakeville to be the pastoral intern, to study under him and to learn everything I needed to know for ministry. And so I'll never forget that the moment of truth came, the testing period came, in which Pastor Paul would go for like vacation or a mission trip, but he was going to be gone for more than 1 week, okay? So this was like 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, all on my own, running things while he was gone as the pastoral intern in charge. And back in those days, you didn't just forward calls. I mean, he literally just handed me his flip phone, and that I was on call, and I would answer that phone saying, hello, Pastor Paul's phone, Pastor Gordon speaking, and I would handle whatever was on the other line of that phone. Now, the first week went pretty well, and no real significant incidents, but then I got that first pastoral emergency phone call. The one as an intern you're wondering if you're going to get, and so I'll never forget, I think it was like a Sunday afternoon, it was sunny out, it was beautiful out, and I get this call while I'm driving, I pull over, I answer the call, and the woman on the other end is distraught. Apparently there was some sort of argument, there was some sort of conflict in the household with her spouse, and so she wanted to talk to Pastor Paul because Pastor Paul had talked to them in the past and helped them out. Except for Pastor Paul wasn't around. We had the pastoral intern. And as much as I might have looked like Paul and dressed like Paul at that time, I was not Pastor Paul. But I thought, okay, I'll jump into this situation. I talked to this woman a little bit. I said, yeah, I think I know where you live. I've been there once before. And so I jumped in the car and started driving in the direction that I thought they lived. You see, the problem was that Lakeville, Farmington, Apple Valley, Rosemont, it was all growing at this time. And all the neighborhoods kind of looked the same. It was a lot of dirt, new houses, no trees, no landmarks. All the houses looked the same. And so I started driving through this area of town that I thought they lived, and I forgot a really important, crucial detail. I forgot their address. And so I'm driving around growing Farmington area, looking for a house that looks like all the others, trying to find out where this domestic situation is, and this woman who is distraught and asking for help, and I can't get there. It wouldn't have done me any good to remember where they lived, because it turns out the house I was trying to drive to, was not their house. It was somebody else. I had never met this woman before. In fact, I had never met them. I wouldn't meet them until like 2 years later. I would run into them at some point in time. And so I pull over and I pick up the phone and I make the phone call and ready to admit, okay, I'm the intern. I'm lost. I have no idea where you are at. And I'll never forget. This time the guy answered the phone. And he said to me, why on earth would I give you my address? I don't even know you. And he hung up, and there I was, sitting in a car, feeling like a failure, feeling like a disappointment. I had let this family down, I had let this woman down, I had let Pastor Paul down, I had let myself down. And feeling like all I could do is pray for the situation, not knowing exactly what's going on, just having a name, not having the address or anything else. And I felt like a complete failure. But you know, we need those testing moments, don't we? We need that place that where somebody believes in us enough to be willing to give us that opportunity to take a risk, to try some things, even if it doesn't always work out. A few years later, when I was serving as my first church as a pastor, had finished my seminary, was on the ordination track in our denomination, I'll never forget I got a phone call or an email from my college preaching and pastoral professor wondering if I would be willing to take in an intern. Now, realizing how valuable of an experience this was for me and being familiar with the program, I said, sure, why not? And so talked to the church. We were positioned. It was a great church. The people were very gracious for me as a young pastoral intern in my first appointment. They helped me understand what ministry was about. And I thought, this is a great learning ground. And I'll never forget that the moment of truth came for the intern that we had, the moment in which I was going to be gone for 2 weeks in a row. I thought this would be a wonderful testing ground. We met together. We talked about what his plan was going to be during that course of time while I'm away. We talked about how this would be a good testing experience because in ministry, you often spend a lot of time alone, and so you have to be driven to get these things done and to stay on top of tasks because you're not in an office with 100 supervisors watching what you're doing. And so we discussed the plan, and the first week went all right. But then the second week came, and apparently that whole self-discipline, self-drive feature was kind of lacking. Because it sounds like during the 2 weeks I was away, he might have taken a week and a half of vacation while I was gone. And maybe it would have been fine, maybe nobody would have noticed, except for when it came to his second Sunday of preaching in a row, he thought maybe he could just kind of wean it. Based on the notes that we had previously discussed. Now, some of you know what kind of disaster this is going to be. So he gets up, not doing any of his homework, and he tried to deliver a message, and it was so bad that people noticed, and they got upset. They got upset with him. They got upset with me. They got upset with a bunch of different things, and I spent the next several weeks, even months, dealing with some of this disaster. Was I disappointed? You bet it. You bet I was. Was he disappointed? Was the church disappointed? Of course. People were feeling hurt. They were wondering about this. Here was that moment of testing. Well, in our text today, in Mark chapter 6, I was thinking about these experiences, and I was realizing this is kind of the disciples' internship experience, their first moment, right? They've been following Jesus. They've been learning from him. They've been listening to him. They've been seeing the ministry he does, and now it was their moment to go out and to put into practice what they have been learning. So in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verses 7 and following, we pick up the story of Jesus sending out his 12 disciples. So Jesus called the 12, and he began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money. But they were to wear sandals, but not take an extra tunic. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." And so they went out and proclaimed that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So the disciples are being sent off on this journey. And I think there are three simple lessons that we can learn for our own journeys from Jesus' call and his invitations for the disciples as he sends them out. The first thing that we notice and we learn from this text, if you're following along in the message notes in the program, is that we should respond quickly. Three lessons from the journey. The first lesson is when Jesus calls us, we are to respond quickly. Now, this is a training mission. This is not like the final exam of their semester or their time with Jesus. It's not like they need to review all the course notes and spend countless hours studying and finally reading the book that they never read during the course that they were with Jesus. No, this is that pop quiz moment to see how much they've been paying attention along the way. And so he gets them ready, and they need to respond quickly. Now, I don't know about you, but it takes some faith, it requires faith in order to respond quickly. Because do you think the disciples had it all figured out yet? No. Do you think they felt ready to cast out demons? Do you think they were ready to do ministry on their own? Of course not. They probably felt a little bit inadequate, and yet, because Jesus believed in them, and said, "I'm going to send you out, and I'm giving you authority. You can do this." And they said, "All right, we're going to do it, Jesus." So they're all pumped up because they had somebody who believed in them. Just like I had somebody who believed in me as a pastoral intern, even though I would fail. Just like the intern that I had somebody believing in them and encouraging them so that they could overcome these challenges. We all need somebody like that in our lives. Are we ready to respond when Jesus issues the call? Can we respond quickly with faith? Or do we like to do what many of my friends love to do in college? I remember a lot of times sitting at the dinner table, we'd have countless conversations about, "I wonder what God's will is for my life." Right? I mean, have you ever had that conversation, or you thought, in college, being at Crown College, and we're a ministry school, and people were wondering, like, should I be a missionary? Where should I be a missionary? Should I go to Africa or India, or should I be a missionary to Chicago and help all those Bears fans, right? And pray for them. No, I'm just kidding. We spent countless hours debating God's will, and people would want to know God's plan for their lives, and they would like just freeze. They would lock. They were too afraid to move because they were afraid they might somehow miss God's plan and purpose for their life. They didn't hear it correctly. And here's the deal. I'll never forget one of our college professors kind of put it this way in a chapel sermon once. He had said, "It's a lot easier to turn the car, to steer the car, when it's moving than when it's in park." Right? That a lot of times we spend our lives kind of gripped by fear, too afraid to move. Jesus doesn't want the disciples debating them about, well, what kind of spirits should we cast out, which kind of cities, which people do we talk to, which people. No, he just wants them to go and do something for God's kingdom. Likewise, are we the kind of people that want to debate with God when God says, "Hey, you know what? Scott, I have an opinion on Scott. I want you to go feed the hungry in Minneapolis today." And Scott's going, I don't like Minneapolis. Do I really need to go feed the hungry in Minneapolis? You know, the pastor's kids look kind of hungry. Can I just take the pastor's kids to McDonald's today instead? Like, isn't that good enough? I mean, do I really need to go to Minneapolis? I mean, we like to do that with God, don't we? Where we debate. Are we the kind of person that when we have a prompting, when we sense God speaking to us, are we willing to say, all right, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm not sure exactly what kind of mess I'm going to get myself into, but if you want me to do something, I'm listening. I'm ready to follow. Jesus is looking for that quick response. The second lesson for our journey is to travel light. Travel light. Now, this is a training mission. They're not climbing Mount Everest. They don't need to take all kinds of gear with them. They don't need to, like, you know, I love this image here where it's like a lot of times we're carrying around lots of burdens. Do I have one of a suitcase the other time? Do I have one of the suitcase being packed? A lot of times when we're going on a journey, we have a mission. It's like, okay, what can I possibly need? We try to take everything with us and pack it in and take it with us on our journey. But Jesus is saying, look, I don't want you carrying everything. I want you weighed down with things that you don't need that end up causing you to miss your journey. Now, I was thinking about this. What are some of the things that we end up carrying with us? Well, typically, I mean, we don't go anywhere without our smartphones. We often have our keys and our wallet, but I'm not talking about those essential things that we all carry with us. We also, if you think about it, we carry with us our hopes and our dreams, don't we? Things we are planning for, dreams for our future we carry with us. We also, some of us carry, maybe more so than others, our fears and our anxieties. There are things that we worry about, right? Spend time thinking about things that can consume us if we end up allowing it to have too much of our thoughts and our attentions. Sometimes we carry our past experiences, don't we? Our past hurts, our hang-ups, our mistakes, our failures. And all these things we carry with us, sort of like that guy on the bicycle image here. And it's kind of difficult to carry on our journey when we're not traveling light. When we're carrying a bunch of extra stuff with us that God doesn't want us carrying around with us always. Are there some things that we need to let go of? Are there some things that we need to turn over in faith to God? Because don't miss the journey that God has for you because you're too weighed down with burdens that you were never meant to carry. I don't want you to miss the journey that God has for you because you're just too burdened with, or you're too weighed down by burdens you're never meant to carry. The third lesson for us from this text, I think, is that we can depend upon God. Jesus tells the disciples to trust in God. He wants them to trust in God and not in themselves or their own abilities or how well they packed their suitcase. Right? So he sends them out empty-handed. I was thinking about that. Why would Jesus send the disciples out empty-handed? He sends them out empty-handed so that they would be ready to receive the blessings that he has in store for them. Think about that for a moment. If your hands are full of all the things that you're trying to hang on to, all the ways that you're trying to secure your own life, it's kind of hard to receive those blessings from God because you're not looking for them. Your hands aren't open to receive them. And so Jesus tells his disciples, look, I don't want you to take any extra provisions. I don't even want you to take a bag with you. Because beggars carry bags. And the problem with that, I mean, that's they also are relying on the generosity of others, and depending upon God and the people that God might put in their path to bless them. But the problem with the beggar mentality is they're operating often from a mindset of scarcity, right? There's that fear of, do I have enough or will I have enough? And so they have a bag that they're going to kind of hang on to some things and maybe they're going to ration it. Makes me think of when I was a kid, candy was not overly abundant in my household. And so when it came to Halloween, I would try to score as much candy as I could, right? And then I have older brothers. And so I would take that candy that I got from Halloween and I would stick it in a plastic bag and I would hide it somewhere in my closet so my brothers couldn't touch it. And then, because it was a special treat, I would ration it out over the course of time, saving, of course, the best for last, right? So I'd save my Reese's peanut butter cups until the end, because I just love Reese's peanut butter cups. And so I would hang on to it because I had this scarcity thinking that it wasn't going to be enough. I want to enjoy it. And I would hang on to it until it wasn't any good anymore. Because what happens when you have chocolate mixed in with Wrigley's Spearmint Gum and Lifesavers and Blow Pop, Tootsie Rolls, all this stuff, is it begins to take on the flavor of everything else around it. Until you have white, crusty chocolate that no longer tastes like it's supposed to. And I realize sometimes we do this. Instead of enjoying the blessing in the moment I received it, now I'm not advocating you should eat all your Halloween candy the night you get it like my kids do, but we should enjoy the blessings. God wants them to enjoy and to see and to receive the blessings that He has for them, to rely on Him and realize that they can rely on Him, because you know what? Jesus isn't going to be with the disciples forever. He knows that a day is coming, and so He wants the disciples to understand that they can trust in Jesus. They can trust in God. They can trust in God's provision, and they can be blessed by the people that God sends them to. Are we missing God's blessings because we are hanging on too tightly to something else? We're hanging on to what we can achieve? Are we living from a place of trust? Or do we tend to live in a place of scarcity? You see, it's when we rely on Him that we discover the fullness of the blessings that God has for us. Our faith in Jesus is what leads us to a life that is fulfilled. Now, when I think about the experience that I had with the intern that our church hosted, there was one bad week. One really bad week over the course of like 6 months. Some people got pretty upset by that one bad week over the course of 6 months. But would I do that all over again? You bet I would. Because my trust in Jesus is greater than my trust in the college sending an intern who's fully prepared and ready for ministry, right? My trust in Jesus is greater, and so I'm not going to allow one bad experience, one bad week, to ruin my whole outlook on that young person's life and ministry and potential. I'm not going to let one bad experience prevent me from taking a risk and trying again in the future. In fact, when the internship was over, I had talked to one of our supervisors who was looking for a young man of this particular ethnicity to help start a new ministry. And I recommended him. And that person was ready to offer them a job right out of college. I would have loved to have had a ministry opportunity, interdenomination, right out of college, and skip that whole seminary additional training. It was a blessing. But at that time, in my thinking in college, I would have loved that opportunity. Because one bad week doesn't determine our future. A fulfilled life is secured by our trust in Jesus. If we are searching for that security, it's kind of hard. If we place our trust in ourselves, we know that we're not always going to be at our best. We know we're going to make our mistakes. If we place our trust in someone else, we know that we are at risk for being disappointed. And our misplaced trust is going to leave us feeling empty. But a fulfilled life is secured by our faith in Christ. Jesus invites us to a place of trust, to take up our cross and to follow Him. Are we ready to respond and to join Him on that journey? Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for your word, and just, you know, even reading a few verses of scripture and just realizing what you are doing in the disciples' life, we realize there's so much for us to unpack here. God, we confess that many times we have been hesitant to follow. We've had our own fears, our own doubts. Maybe we've been carrying burdens with us. But God, I pray that if there's anyone here today who's been struggling, who's been feeling weighed down, who feels like they've been missing it, who wants to receive the blessings that you have for us, that God, maybe just right now we can open up our hands. That we can say, Jesus, I trust you with my life. I'm ready to receive your blessings. I'm ready to receive what you have in store for me. So God, give us the courage to pray that prayer each and every day. To live in an attitude of openness and obedience and trust in you and all that you want to accomplish in our lives. We pray for all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.